Hi, my name is Sam Williams, and welcome to part one of the Zone Return 40, a Mid-60 Music Podcast, Millennial Throwback Machine. Hello, so first of all, I'd like to welcome all of you to part one of the Zone Return 40, a Mid-60 Music Podcast, Millennial Throwback Machine. I'm Sam Williams, and for those of you who are just now discovering this podcast, either on the Apple Podcast app, or in Stitcher, or on iHeartRadio, or on Google Podcasts, soon to become YouTube, those are going to migrate over to YouTube Music, or on Spotify. And you're wondering, so what the heck is Zoom's subscription worth the show is all about? Okay, so I'm Sam Williams, and I'm a 28-year-old songwriter slash producer. I'm also a YouTube music fan slash expert slash. In each week of this podcast, I take one song by one artist who's put the show in two parts. First part of the show is talking about my opinion on the song and why I think it's so good, or why I think it sucks into my own personal original song, which will include the chorus, melody, lyrics. And second part of the show, dig deep into the history behind that track. And that part of the show talk about who wrote the song, who produced it, what see the song is recorded at, talk about the session players, play on the song, the songwriters wrote the song, produce it, and the peak position song where originally built on the charts first came out. Talk about the session songs recorded at, the studio musicians that play on the song, talk about the studio the song is recorded at, the record label the song is released on, and the peak position song where originally built on the charts first came out, and the year when the song was released. All that is in the second part of the show. Now, before we go on this week's episode of this podcast, I just want to say a couple of things. I don't really have much to update for you guys. I'm still working on the demos for the songs. I haven't really made that much progress with it, but that's mainly because I've been doing a lot of interviews lately for the premium version of my podcast, the premium subscription version of my podcast. Because sometimes, guys, when it comes to music, I go through periods where I'm working a lot on it. And then there are periods of my life where I kind of need to step away from it, And that's, as a creative person, you definitely want to step away from your craft for a while. Eventually, you want to get back to it. But it's okay to step away from it for a while. And then eventually, when you do get back to it, some fresh ideas come to you in terms of the arrangements for your songs. And creativity definitely burns out on pretty quickly when you're constantly working on the same songs over and over and over again. But it does refresh itself when you return to your music again, because then some new ideas come to you after taking a break from your working on your songs for a while. And to be honest with you guys, not much new or exciting has been happening with me lately, other than. So it's been a little challenging coming up with new songs because I haven't really had a whole lot of new life experiences lately other than these really cool interviews that I'm doing. Like, I just did two really awesome interviews. One was with Sandy from the original Sandy Gudna, original member of Jane the Americans. The other one was with Peggy Santiglia-Ricker, who is the original member of the Angels, and those will all come out next year for the premium subscription versions podcast. This month's interview episode is going to be with the original member of the Soul Survivors of the song Expressway to Heart. His name is Charlie Ingvy. That's coming out this month, so that's really cool. I want you guys to listen to that when it comes out, so please do subscribe to the premium subscription versions podcast. The link to that is in the text descriptions of this podcast, and check out my new merch where I just launched for that. It's got this really cool slogan. It's called Fly on the Wall Stories. The name of my podcast on the bottom. It's really, really dope. The link to that is also in the text description of this podcast. Please go check that out. I really, really appreciate it if you can do that. Guys, it's just I'm kind of going through a kind of a lull in terms of creativity right now with my music. I haven't written a song in quite some time since last December. So, I just got to snap out of it one of these days, but it's been a little difficult because it just seems like there's nothing new happening with me lately. It's kind of the same old, same old. But I had to take a step back from my original music as well, in terms of the demos I was making, But I'll get back on it, guys. I've just been busy doing interviews, and I also met Jimmy Webb, the guy who wrote MacArthur Park. By the time he gets to Phoenix, Wichita Live, and Galveston, The Worst That Could Happen, so many great songs. I met him, and I got it, and his wife has my information, so I'm going to interview him in September, and I'm also going to this weekend I'm going to interview two original members of two really cool Sixers group. One is the Association, Jim Yester. I covered on my podcast a while ago. I did the song Wendy. And I also going to interview an original member of Sherelle's, who I'm really excited about. Her name is Beverly Lee. And I'm also going to interview Jim Yester of the Association. I'm very excited to do these interviews. They are so freaking cool. I can't wait to talk to them. Those episodes will come. Oh, I'll record those this weekend. They'll come out next year. So I'm very, very excited to interview those guys. And yeah, so, that's what's been happening with me lately, guys, just doing interviews. I've been kind of a creative low, like I said earlier. But, I'll eventually get back to, making demos and, or actually just working on the demos for the songs I've been working on for a while, and also trying to come up with new stuff, because that's been a challenge lately, got to be honest with you guys. So that's what's going on this week's show. All right, let's get to the next song we're going to talk about for my podcast. I thought it's Women's History Month. I thought to myself, well, why don't I do to kill two birds with one stone? It's been a while since I've done a British invasion artist on my podcast. The last one I did was The Searchers last summer. And I thought to myself, why don't I do another British invasion artist? Let's do a female. Now, we don't often think of the British invasion. We don't often think of it in terms of solo artists. Oftentimes, we associate the British invasion with the bands of that time, but there were a lot of successful solo artists that were very much a part of the British invasion. They were there, they were having just as many hits as the British bands were, and any artist that recorded in England in the 60s that managed to have hits in America was a part of the British invasion, and this artist was no exception. And she was an artist that really was definitely influenced by the American music of that time. And her music was, had a New York feel to it, even though most of it was recorded in England. And this particular song is arguably one of her best songs. I mean, she had some really, really good ones, but this one is freaking believable. The arrangement is just great. I love the crescendos on this song. The arrangement's really, really bone-chilling. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. The song came out on March 25th, 1966. It's by an artist named Dusty Springfield. The name of the song is called You Don't Have to Say You Love Me. Wow. The song is amazing. I really, really love this song. It's so beautiful. And today we're going to talk about what makes this song so great, both musically and lyrically. But first, let's get into the song's music. Okay, so I'm going to get a couple of things out of the way first before I dive into the song's arrangement, because this is the real meat and potatoes of the song, is the song's arrangement. That's really where the song really shines. But first, let's get into the song's chord progression. So there's not much to talk about here in terms of the chord progression. It does a really cool minor to major key change. It song starts out in D minor, and then it does a really cool the beefiest chord in this song, I believe, is this really cool. So in the beginning of the song, I think there's a strong emphasis on this sort of I guess you would call it like a 2-5-1 in a minor key, because it basically goes to an E minor 7 flat 5 chord, which is sort of like, which resolves to the A, and then it goes to the D minor. That's the chord that they're playing in the song. It kind of sounds like a G minor 7. It kind of goes from the G minor 7 and then E minor 7 flat 5 to A and then back to D minor. And that's kind of what you're listening to in the song. Very big, heavy emphasis on the E minor 7 flat 5 going from the A to the D minor. It's kind of like a 2-5-1 in D minor in a sense. And it's a really, really beautiful chord progression in the song in the beginning, when it goes to, goes to G minor, C, F, B flat, and then it goes to the G minor, and then E minor 7 flat 5 to A, and then it goes to the D minor. In terms of the G minor to C, D, E, F. So four, it's in this sort of progression, it's that the G minor is a four, and the C is a seven. So it's kind of a four. It's a 4-7, and then it goes to the 3-4-7-3, and then it goes to D, F, G, A, and then it goes to the 6. 4-7-3-6. And then it goes to the 2, and then it goes to the E minor 7 flat 5, and then it goes to the 5 A, and then it goes to D minor. Really, really beautiful chord progression there. And then it does a really nice little minor to major key change where it goes to the tonic minor, tonic major. Where it goes, and then here it does kind of more of a cliche chord progression right here. It's like, 1-1-6-4-5, and then it's actually 1-6-2-5. It's 1-6-2-5, and then it goes then D major 7, and then the 6 B minor, and then you go to E minor A, and then it kind of transitions into seamlessly goes into back the D minor. Verse, and that's really cool. And then it does a big, huge lift at the end. It goes up a whole step to E major, and that's really insane. And then it does this whole E to D flat 7 crescendo at the end, which is pretty deep, pretty cool, if you ask me. But in terms of the song's arrangement, man, this song has a real heavy hitting arrangement, especially with that intro. I mean, you hear those, I'm pretty sure they're French horns. I'm almost positive they're French horns. You hear those French horns in the beginning, and then you hear the choir come in, and then it's just, the song just hits you with a ton of bricks, and you hear those big sounding drums, and they might be timpani too, but I'm pretty sure they're drums where you kind of just hear the crashes, and you hear the choir come in. And then it's just this huge sounding song, and the French horns, and then everything kind of stops, and you hear the vocal creep in, and then all of a sudden you hear the strings, and then you hear the rhythm section. Damn, the song is just so crazy. The amount of just deep crescendos that are happening in this song, in terms of the big, big heavy hits within the arrangement, and then the strings come in, and then you hear the piano, and by the way, the song is in 6-8, so it 1-2-3-4-5-6, 1-2-3-4-5-6, that's how you count the song. And that 6-8 feel kind of gives it that sort of it has sort of a classical vibe to it, but it's also very soulful at the same time. But it's just the horns, do lots of crescendos and sort of the background vocalists. And, I think the background vocalists actually dip out for the verses and they come back in for the chorus. It's a very interesting arrangement choice right there. Really, really cool. And there's a lot of power in the song, even though it's kind of a slow song. There's still a lot of power within the arrangement for this song. The song really packs a bunch in terms of the chord progression, and when it comes to the arrangement, the song really, really hits hard. You can tell just by listening to it, just how everything just comes in at such a huge volume. This isn't like a subtle, low-key kind of mid volume ballad. This is a high volume, very just, socks you right in between the eyes kind of a song, because it's explosive. And you can tell just how in the beginning of the song, it just hits you the ton of bricks with those French horns and those drums and then those background singers. I mean, the song is just huge. I mean, And the strings are, and the string arrangement is really, really cool too, because it doesn't really interfere with the lead vocal. It kind of just complements it. And the piano does a very there's a beautiful piano part in this song too. And it's really, really good. The horns are just unbelievable. I mean, it's a very beautiful song, and everything kind of colors outside lines in terms of the lead vocal, the strings, and so do the horns too. It's a very, very beautiful song. And now let's get into the song's lyrics. Okay, so this song doesn't have the most easy to understand lyrics, but it's a beautiful song, and it's a very sad song too. Actually, it is kind of a bummer song if you think about it. Because if you think about the lyrics to the song, when she sings, "When I said I needed you, you said you would always stay. It wasn't me, but changed, but you." And now you've gone away. Don't you see that now you've gone? I'm left here on my own. And I've had to follow you and beg you to come home. So basically, she's heartbroken that this guy left him. And, you know, and now she's kind of learned to accept it and kind of realize that, hey, you know what? This is how it's going to be from now on. And you don't have to say you love me. Just be close at hand. She's basically letting it go. She's not forcing him to be interested in her. Even though he isn't, and I think that's the main message of the song, she's not forcing him to make any decisions about her, and it's just a great, great song lyrically, it's great, great imagery too. Left alone with just a memory, life sees. Sad and so unreal, all that's left is loneliness, there's nothing left to feel. I mean, it's just beautiful, beautiful imagery in the song. She's kind of saying, look, you don't have to say you love me, but just be around. Just don't entirely leave me. You know, and that's kind of what she's saying in this song. And she's also saying, look, you don't have to stick around forever. I get it. I understand that you're not interested. I feel like that's what this song is about. She's kind of like, she understands that this guy doesn't want her, and the guy she's willing to accept that, and she's willing to move on. It's a beautiful song, great lyrics, and I think it's relatable, because I feel like when it comes to rejection, we have to sort of move past the stage where the person doesn't want you, and that's probably the most difficult part of moving past a rejection, moving past when someone isn't interested in you, and just moving past that and getting moving on to the next thing might be difficult, because there's always sort of these thoughts that we may have of maybe that person will change their mind one day, but you have to understand that's probably not going to happen. We kind of just have to move on from that, and that can be tough for us to do, you know, as human beings, because sometimes we can be really, really attracted to someone, and we can really want them, but it does, you know, when it doesn't work out, even though we want to really, really badly, it's hard for us to accept that as our reality and move on from it. And I think that the song really perfectly captures that, And it's funny that the lyric, "gonna have to follow you and beg for you to come home," I think she was meaning in literal sense, because this was before, like, social media, before, we could even do that, sort of following each other on social media, because this was back before that even existed. So she literally meant following him wherever he went, which is kind of strange, if you ask me, but a little creepy, but, you know, that's just how songs were back then. But, great vocal performance by Dusty, by the way. She really, really hits home with a lot of these lyrics. And, she really just puts her performance into the forefront. Really, really good job. And I think you'll be able to relate to the song, because we've all been in those situations where we should probably let go of someone that we thought, even though that this person's interested in us. We've all been like, okay, you don't have to say love me. I understand. I get it. You're not interested. I should probably move on. And I've kind of been in that situation myself, previous in more recent years, where I'm kind of just kind of accept the fact that this person not interested and just move on. Just be like, you don't have to say let me. And in other situations for me, it'd be like, you don't have to say that you're not interested. I get it. You know, but yeah, so that's kind of what the song's about. And that includes this week's episode. So that concludes part one of episode number 240 of my 16 Music Podcast, the Millennial Throwback Machine. I am Sam Williams, and as per usual, if you found us some really interesting, or if you like my analysis in this week's song, and you never heard it before, and you're around my age, you're a millennial Gen Z, and you fell in love with the song because of me, and I turned you on to it, definitely email me at samltwilliam@icloud.com. You can also follow me and reach out to me on Instagram and TikTok at iHeartOldies. And yeah, you know, you guys know what to do. I'm sure you guys know what to do by now. You can check out the link to my EP. It just came out last year, An Old Soul with Lunar Imagined Things. You can find a link to that in the text description of this podcast. But yeah, I mean, I'm still working on the demos for the songs, guys. It's a long process, and like I said, I'm kind of taking a step back from that, so that way I can have more creative ideas moving forward with those songs. But yeah, so that's kind of what I've been doing. And yeah, you can check out the link to the premium subscription version of this podcast. That's where you'll find all my latest interview episodes. I've got a bunch more coming out in the near future. This month's episode is going to be with Charlie Ingwe, who's an original member of Soul Survivors. Link to that is in the text description episode of this podcast. Yeah, and also check out the Red Bull merch store for this podcast, the premium version and the free version, the Key Things Groovy logo, and the new slogan for the podcast, Fly on the Wall Stories, which is for the premium subscription version podcast. You can find both of those stores and text descriptions of this podcast. Please go check that out. I would really, really appreciate if you can do that. I got the Spotify and YouTube playlist for this podcast. You'll be able to find all the songs I've talked about on my show so far, including some ones I mentioned in interview episodes. Click the link to those in text descriptions of this podcast. If you have any suggestions for songs to talk about next on podcast that I haven't yet, please email those ideas to me at samltwilliam@icloud.com. You can also follow me, reach out to me on Instagram, TikTok, and iHeartOldies. As of right now, guys, I did order a shirt for my Red Bull merch store. I'm kind of waiting for that. So I haven't gotten it yet, but I think I'll get it this week. I'm pretty sure I'll probably get it by tomorrow. So keep you guys updated about that. And yeah, so I'm Sam Williams, and thank you guys for joining me for this week's episode of the podcast, The Millennial Throwback Machine. Until next time, please keep things moving.